Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits. This is our little gift for you podcast subscribers. This week, we're talking to the makers behind a new film about stillbirth. If you've been affected by this issue or have been affected by any fertility issues, you might find the rest of this podcast upsetting. But it is a beautiful film and we wanted to share their story. Underwear, armpit hair,
many imitators, but no one compares. Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio. One, two, three, four!
Now, we are talking about an issue that affects far more people than you would realise. Every day, 9 babies in the UK are stillborn. And a new film highlights what that is like for the parents of those children. We are joined in the studio by director and writer Edward Japp and writer and star of the film Held, Antonia Desplat. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so pleased to be here.
Edward, tell us, what was the inspiration behind the film?
We were developing a script about postnatal depression, and a very close friend of ours sister had a stillborn child as we were in development, and we both asked our parents about it, and funnily enough, my great-grandmother had 2 stillborn children, and then my grandmother actually had twins who were stillborn as well. And Antonia.
Yeah, my aunt had a stillbirth as well. And unless we had brought up the topic, nobody else would have talked to us about it. So we thought, okay, what's the best way of tackling a subject which is so taboo and encouraging discussions by reaching out to a wider audience, not just the people that are affected by the issue, and try to help raise awareness.
One of the things that I was thinking as you're talking is that it is a really undiscussed subject. So it's a sort of double whammy of this horrendous thing that happens to people, and then the sheer uncomfortableness that everyone feels around that.
Absolutely.
And so nobody brings it up.
No.
And nobody ever talks about it.
I actually think that's a big issue in the UK, more so in other countries. We're quite a private nation.
Yeah.
And we don't like speaking about things. We like to hide in our houses. And I think when somebody does go through this sort of trauma, the worst thing to do is actually hide from it. People want to speak about it. They want their friends to be there for them.
And also, obviously, you give birth to a child, you have to give them a funeral. So the bereaved parents want to talk about their child. They want to speak. They want to show pictures. They want to be asked their name. And people just don't know how to react when they're given this sort of information, which is really sad because they feel segregated. And that's why they tend to kind of put themselves aside from society. Mm. And then you come back to work and obviously you've left for maternity leave and you come back and everybody is asking you about your child, which sadly has passed away, which is, it's awful. It's
the worst thing we think that could possibly happen to anybody.
To a family,
Yeah, because you're preparing, aren't you? You have that 9 months of preparing for the arrival of this other human being, and then that human being isn't there. Was it really hard to kind of get into the mind of people who've actually experienced it? Because it's such a horrific thing. Unless you've actually been through it, I can't imagine. It must be very difficult. How did you kind of get into that role or get the get the understanding so that you could do the film?
So we worked really closely with SANS, which is the main charity with Tommy's for stillbirth. And we had the chance to interview a lot of bereaved mothers who opened their story to us. And I read a lot of books, watched a lot of documentaries, and tried to understand the common ground of everybody's stories. Because obviously, Edward's grandmother had this in the 30s, and the care at that time was not appropriate for such a trauma. And she became schizophrenic and was institutionalized and put aside of society and had shock therapy and everything. Whereas now there's a big support system, and those women were so generous in sharing their stories with us.
I think the research was really important, speaking to actual mothers who had gone through the trauma. I found it really, really hard because I was actually dealing with some personal issues, some health issues, which were actually fertility issues. Halfway through development of this script, a doctor called. We were going to Mallorca to develop, develop the rest of the script. And a doctor called me as we were boarding the plane to tell me that I had testicular cancer and that I'd never be able to have kids naturally.
Wow.
And like you can't deal with that. Like, of course, that's nothing what a mother would go through after losing a child. But I had this, I knew what trauma felt like.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Antonia really used these mothers' real testimonies to get her into this character. And she did a really amazing job.
Oh, thank you. But there's also this book which is called Ask Me His Name, which is a diary of a mother who lost a child. And obviously, most of the stillbirth happens between 32 weeks and the due date, which is at 40 weeks.
Yeah.
And at that point, everything's ready because you can give birth any time from then. So your hospital bag is ready. The nursery has been completely built up. And so in our film, it starts with the couple building up this nursery and taking a lot of time to build this little nest for their baby. And the heartbreak with the film is because obviously some people decide to keep the nursery and maybe to change it a little bit for their next child or just to keep it as a memory if they don't want to have a child after this. But with us, because families don't really know how to deal with with this situation, so sometimes they do things that are really brutal without understanding how traumatic it is for the actual bereaved parents. So we brought a carer in who decided to box up the nursery, which was the character's nest and her happy place. And she would read books to a child that wasn't there, sadly. But throughout the whole film, you're meant to think that the child is there. And then at the end, once they've locked up the nursery and she can't get in, and she climbs through the window in order to get in, and she sees all the nursery completely boxed up. That was, for me, also because I had created that nursery because I really wanted to feel what it was to actually take care of a space and create your own little cocoon. And I asked Edward to not show me the room until we shot that scene. And I mean, obviously, it's a hundred percent of what bereaved mother might feel. But yeah, it was
very real.
Heartbreaking. Mm. Yeah.
Through doing the film, because the stillbirth rates in the UK are high. What is it like? There's 9 stillborn babies every day.
Yeah. 9 to
15. Wow. Were there any kind of insights that you gained in terms of, you know, if you had a friend or somebody that went through this, how you might deal with that differently or talk differently? So if any of our listeners have got friends or, you know, because my friend's sister had the same thing. She had twins that were both born stillborn. And that's been a very difficult journey for that whole family and how you navigate that. And now she's had more babies, but how do you still acknowledge the babies that passed away?
Yeah.
So were there any insights that you can share, any learnings from that research?
It's kind of what we were saying before. I think you just can't shy away from the issue. As a friend of somebody who's lost their child, you really need to go and support that person. And even if they don't want to see you, you need to really try and push them to socialize as much as they can and talk about it and face it.
Also, SANS has wonderful support groups. And you have different age gaps. And there's so many different groups that a lot of women find their own specific little group which helps them go through the trauma. But also the book Ask Me His Name by Elle Wright is phenomenal, and this educates people that have not gone through the trauma to deal with it for their friends, and also for bereaved mother that have gone through it. I think any woman can relate to that book.
And it's not something that can't be avoided. We just need to do more scans in this country. We stopped doing scans at
32
weeks. Between that and the time you actually give birth is the most common time that you lose your child. It's just an obvious thing. We just need to scan these mothers more. My mother gave birth to me and my three brothers all in Paris because she was so worried about this happening to her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they do. They scan mothers much more often in Paris and in every other country in Europe.
Yeah, in the UK, the rate is the highest in any developed country. It's higher than Croatia, than Poland.
Yeah, really.
And Czechoslovakia, Republic Czech as well, which is...
And the worst thing is a lot of the time you won't actually get a proper answer. So the doctors or nurses will just say, we don't know. So the mother feels like it's something that they've done. Mm-hmm. And it never is. It's never the mother's fault. Of course it's not. Giving birth is such a complicated thing. And for a mother not to know the reason, it scares them so much to have another child.
Yeah. So you've got your own production company, the two of you, Luna Moon. So is your goal to tell more stories, more of women's stories like this? So
they are women's stories for now, but it just happens to be that women have a very difficult time telling their stories, because society tends to hide away these things. But we would tell anybody's story. It's just people who have issues at publicizing it and getting it out there. Stillbirth is not something that people love to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's why we felt like we needed to talk about this and actually get it out there and try and make a bit of a change.
And for example, our next project is going to be again about grief, but about suicide and how a family deals with it. So it's more tackling taboo subject, I think. Obviously, if they can be female-based, then that's wonderful. And we've ticked all the boxes. But it's more about, tackling subject that really need to be addressed.
Mm. Sounds like an incredible film. If people would like to see it, where and when is it on? Where can they find it?
So at the moment, we're waiting to hear back from festivals. We did our premiere 2 weeks ago at the London Independent Film Festival, which we won. And now we're waiting to hear back from the others. So we'll let you know.
You won the festival, did you say? Yeah. Oh, yay. Congratulations.
This is our fourth festival win. So we're very, very happy at where it's going.
Yeah, having an impact.
But hopefully we're even going to try and distribute it on either the BBC or ITV over Baby Loss Awareness Month.
Yeah. In October.
In October.
Yeah, Netflix to take it on?
That would be great. Great plug. Thank you.
You're listening, Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
The film is called Held for a Moment. And we'll definitely make it accessible for people to watch online.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming, guys. It sounds like a great film. This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.